It was a trade, in a way, based on trust, because over these long, long distances, there were established values for, say, Indian Ocean seashells, or for glass beads, or Indian cotton, or African ivory. And this trust helped the development of history and of human societies in places where one society had never even seen the other. It was just the merchants who kept this going. And it's a very important point to make about this trade, and also about the camel trade, the trade done by the camel, and the importance of the domestication of the camel, which occurred in the first millennium BC, isn't the camel itself. It is the saddle on the back of the camel. And directly people developed saddles from which they could fight, or saddles upon which they could carry loads. They could cross the deserts. Camels were known as the ships of the deserts. And you got this opening up of trade routes across the Sahara, of the Silk Road, of Central Asia and so on, where you got, again, a sort of monsoon wind cycle effect, this time with the camel saddle, where more interconnections occurred. But, as we said earlier, if you are building or develop such trading connections, the monsoon Indian routes, or the routes of the Silk Road, or the Saharan routes, something happens. These are caravan routes, by sea or by land. They are people by folk who spend their entire lives on the move. They truly are international citizens. They are not parts of a particular country, even if they are by birth, say a Saudi Arabian or an Indian. These were people who were the vehicles of interconnection. They were people who looked neither to the left or the right, who owed political loyalty to nobody, who presided over an extremely cosmopolitan society, which was the society of the caravan and the dhow and the merchant vessel. And without this form of connection, manned by people who had no particular liabilities, no particular political liabilities, you couldn't have had the continuity of trade, which continued despite changing political conditions, despite the collapse of one market, but being replaced by another, because the caravans always kept going under the unspoken umbrella, under the notion that trade and interconnectedness was more important than any form of short-term political gain. Of course, there were breaks and there were ups and downs, but the truth of this interconnectedness is that it was permanent, and it was manned by people who spent their entire lives on camels' backs or in ships, fostering and linking the webs of interconnectedness. Thus it was that the Indian Ocean routes brought South and Southeast Asia, as well as China, and the land routes of the North in contact with the Western world. The unchanging cycles of the monsoon winds were the southern equivalent of the ancient Silk Road across Central Asia. And the camel, with its saddle, was another link that kept these cycles going, kept these connections going. In this lecture, we've described the wave of cultural changes and population movements that swept over South Asia after 1700 BC. We've described the controversies over the origins of Indo-Aryan languages, which are still unresolved. We briefly mentioned the foreign invaders who reached India, and the rise and fall of the Mauryan civilization, whose Buddhist beliefs fostered overseas trade and maritime voyaging to Southeast Asia and into the Indian Ocean. And then finally, we described the discovery of the monsoon winds, which revolutionized the Indian Ocean world and interconnectedness. And as we will see, this web of interconnectedness helped create new civilizations elsewhere in Asia.